Thank you for joining us for the 8th episode of the Whitaker Report podcast, a discussion with thought leaders about the future of economic development, site selection, and corporate real estate. My name is Dean Whitaker, President and CEO of Whitaker Associates, a data analytic company serving the needs of economic development and commercial real estate organizations. I will be your host as we endeavor to see what's next and around the corner. Today we will be speaking with Aaron Bossois, President and CEO of Golden Shovel Agency. Aaron is the CEO and founder of Golden Shovel Agency, a firm specializing in communications for economic development. He has led the creation of communication tools and services, currently supporting over 200 economic development organizations across North America. He is a sought-after presenter and thought leader in the industry conferences with a focus on new trends in business and workforce attraction. Aaron and his team pioneered the first virtual reality tools for the economic development industry and unveiled them at the 2017 IEDC Annual Conference in Toronto. Please join me as we welcome Aaron Bossois to the Whitaker Report podcast. Aaron, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Please tell us a little about Golden Shovel Agency and how did you get started in this in economic development?
Sure. Well, Golden Shovel Agency, it's an economic development communications firm. And we do a fair amount of marketing, website development, and virtual reality for economic development organizations that are trying to attract businesses or talent to their communities.
I noticed you added talent. Now, that's some trend I'm seeing repeatedly now coming up. Tell me a little more about the talent side of what you do and how you help communities address their talent needs.
Sure. Yeah, you bet. You know, when we started this in this industry, it was very much all focused on business attraction. But more and more as people have migrated and moved around, and especially with COVID, there's just been a mass migration of people that no longer had to work in an office. And so at Golden Shovel, we've been doing an awful lot of strategies with our economic development organizations that are trying to win over the hearts and minds of remote workers and attracting people that don't necessarily need to be in an office in maybe a more expensive city. Mm-hmm. Or in different parts of the country. And so they've been able to attract them, especially with everything that happened with COVID, with that mass experiment and everyone gets sent from home, gets us to work from home. And, you know, so that's certainly coming back in some kind of strange mixed way. Mm-hmm. The economic development organizations had an opportunity to really bring those people into their communities. We've seen everything from entire marketing campaigns targeted to very specific people that some communities think would be a good fit. There's been a lot of refocus on making sure there's enough housing, making sure there's enough Wi-Fi, having a really low cost of living and a high quality of life, and really pitching those things forward in the order to bring them or bring those people in.
So you mentioned housing and Wi-Fi obviously are almost given essential. I know this one community that we've worked with, they're offering $20,000 if someone will come there and build a house when they relocate. So in addition to moving to the community, they also get additional money in order if they agree to invest in building a house when they move there. So that's kind of their way of addressing the housing issue.
You're right. There's so many programs like that. We've seen ones where sometimes they'll forgive student loans. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll give you land. Sometimes they'll just give you cash and a mountain bike.
That sounds like a deal, too. I'll have to sign up for that one. Do you see this trend increasing? I mean, in comparison to attracting business, what kind of shifts are taking place? Or are there any?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, this trend was increasing well before COVID. Mm-hmm. And there was already starting to be a shift where the talent was choosing where they wanted to live. Mm-hmm. Versus the old days, you'd have jobs available and everybody would move to the community to work at that opportunity. But that's really changed dramatically as people have shifted their priorities. Just making sure they're in a place that's a nice location or has a nice, vibrant downtown. That was already happening in a pretty significant way. And one of the reasons is because we're growing, or I don't know if you said growing or shrinking, but we're going to have a talent shortage. Mm-hmm. And it's getting much, much more competitive to bring top talent into a community. And so that's one of the reasons why I believe there's a big shift in focus. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to slow down at all. I think it's going to get much more competitive.
And then in terms of, it seems like companies now follow the talent rather than the talent coming to the companies. Like the power has shifted over to the worker side of the agenda, where it used to be, you know, there's 100 jobs, you know, you had 100 people for every job you had, and now it's 100 jobs for every person. It seems like the whole game is turned upside down.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, there's certainly a lot of jobs, just to be fair, that can't be done remotely. Mm-hmm. And those still require a strong, viable workforce that's in the region that can get there in time. But the remote working trend has a few different types of categories, because you'd have people that are, for example, like digital nomads, mm-hmm. that can move and they can change place to place, and they can, they become almost like a PR stream for communities after they stay, because they move on and travel and tell the other digital nomads about the locations they've been at. That's an area. Then you have the remote workers, where people can do software development or any type of computer work. So that's another type. And then you've got the long-term remote workers that are either going to stay with executive housing or be doing business travel, that type of thing.
Yeah, I live in a resort town in Lake Michigan, and we're seeing a fair number of people here because of our quality of life and also the environment that we live in. And it's also here in Michigan, so it's winter. And so we also get some snowbirds that add to a warmer climate at other times of the year. So it's an interesting trend that you brought up. Your company has been kind of pioneering in the use of virtual reality, which has always fascinated me too. How did you get involved in VR, and what are the applications?
Oh, sure. Well, we started, brought VR to the economic development industry. It was in 2017. We were in Toronto at the International Economic Development Conference. And it was only 6 months before that we were playing around with some of the Google Cardboard. And Google Cardboard, recap for those who don't remember what it is, was basically you could take your phone, you could put it inside this cardboard headset, and then you could use the phone to be able to get a 360 degree videos and give you that feeling of being there inside the video. We played with that for just a little bit. It was actually at a company picnic or company gathering we were having, and it just clicked like right away. It was like, oh my gosh, this makes it feels like we're standing there. And then if we feel like we're standing there, we're in the perfect industry. That's our whole job, is to get people and businesses to be standing there in your community eventually. So this is the next best thing if you can't be there physically in person. And so we decided, all right, there's definitely potential here. And we decided to start off with 360 video as a focus, just because it was really easy to grasp. You could produce it relatively quickly. And so that was the beginning of all of that. We've been making familiarization tours, site tours, various industry tours, sometimes workforce attraction tours, and even some for tourism, and all with the interest of getting people to come to the community. And now, since then, we've gone quite a bit farther. Over the last year and a half, we've been working on a virtual reality app, which allows people to meet virtually. You can go into basically a virtual conference table that can sit inside any location, any kind of spherical video, and you can bring guests that also have headsets to go and take them onto the tours. Feels almost live, because you're talking to them there in 3D sound, even though you're going through the FAMP tours and site tours that you put together.
What kind of reception are you getting from the client side to this technology? How do they react?
It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful. And actually, it's getting better and better because as the technology progresses, there's more and more use cases for the same virtual reality content. What before might have just been going onto a VR headset now can also be viewed through your desktop. You can use them through Zoom. We've been incorporating them into GIS Planning's new tool, Zoom Tour, where you can put 360 videos into there. The technology itself is getting better. Like, we don't even use the phones in the cardboard anymore. That was something that lasted for about the first year, and now we're three generations of headsets further into the technology, and the quality of it's just changing dramatically fast, and it makes the whole quality of the entire experience better and better.
So that's kind of where we are today, and again, what I've always been asking you for is, what do you see coming up after the VR? What comes behind that?
It is so exciting. Some of the technologies, one of the ones that we're focused on for sure that we're excited about is the use of augmented reality and economic development. I mean, right now, even with the virtual reality, being able to go inside a room and have, for example, you're looking at a greenfield site or a brownfield site, and to be able to have a 3D model pop out of the ground with a vision for a potential project that an investor wants to share, or maybe it's an economic developer showcasing examples of logistics centers or examples of warehouse spaces that they could do. And they can make all these things onto a business park that doesn't even exist there. It might just be a bunch of soybeans. So that's what we've been doing now. But with augmented reality, where instead of it all being inside the virtual reality goggles, you can actually be on location, you could be at that site, and you could still see those 3D buildings there. That's really going to eliminate an awful lot of what was before necessary travel. I see already, with the technology we've been using, that we can communicate with people overseas. You can communicate with people that are not there on location. But when you can do that live on the location and then incorporate the augmented reality components, the 3D models, the visions, the data, and bring all that together, that's going to just be, it's going to be a complete shift in the whole how the industry works. Another area that we're focused on, our vision, is that each of these economic development organizations have a room, if you will, or a space that's theirs. And just like you have a website and you have your brochures and you've got your videos, you also will have a virtual space that's designed for showcasing your community. And that's what we've been building with the app. And I believe that technology is just, with augmented reality, is going to become mass adopted.
And by adoption rate, what kind of adoption rate or hurdles do you see economic development folks have as they, I'm thinking budget being one, what else do you see happening in terms, what's holding back the adoption rate?
Sure. I guess there's a couple of things. And first of all, I mean, there is budget that is included to have to build these things. But you'd be surprised that most of the early adopters of virtual reality were rural communities.
Interesting.
It wasn't the big metros that quickly jumped and started making the tours, because they have people coming to their communities. It's easier to get site consultants to come and see things there. But in the rural communities, oftentimes they can't even get a site consultant to come visit. And if you can't get somebody to come visit in person and you got to attract somebody to your community, then you need some way to be able to show that off. And that's where the virtual reality was strong. So the budgets aren't so much that they're deterrent to all rural communities. But the hurdles, I think, more just as the technology comes out. Mm-hmm. And so there's been a massive adoption since COVID hit. Our increase in what we've been doing easily went up 400%, and which has been good. Also, because of COVID, it put a huge force behind just the general popularity of the VR headsets. as people were looking for different ways to connect with each other. And that's really, really helped our cause. And so the economic development industry, there's not a lot of pressure to be super early adopters of new technology, but we've seen many progressive economic development clients that are really excited about pioneering the trend, being the first out there. There's just an opportunity for them to show this technology off first, you know, and leave a strong impression for the people they're courting.
I understand. So the first adopter kind of benefits that comes with it. And how are communities using it to tell their story? What are some of the examples that you can share with our listeners?
Sure. So I just mentioned a couple of them offhand, but one being like a familiarization tour, mm-hmm. a business-centric perspective of the whole community that can show. It usually starts with, here's the types of businesses that are a good fit for the region. And then you take a look, here's the workforce development programs and the universities where the talent's being developed. And then go to the neighborhoods and show what those are like, show the hospitals and healthcare, and then goes all the way down into the communities. So you can get a little idea of what it's like to be in the local brew pub or to catch one of the big events that come through town, or what's it like to canoe down the river. Mm-hmm. And we can put all of that into a full package. So that's the story you get. And then that always gets, the fam tours get lined with all those little unique things that really make communities special. You can highlight those and bring in even local music and local voiceovers and stuff. It's been really, really fun. For the workforce attraction, it's a little different, because sometimes it might be the business itself in the beginning of the video talking about, hey, here's the type of jobs. You can imagine being a company at a job fair and you're trying to recruit talent to your business, mm-hmm. and being able to show them what it's like to be on the plant floor, or especially in a situation where it might be dangerous, prohibitive to just bring everybody out onto a in an industrial setting. Mm-hmm. They can do that in VR, and they can do it in VR from the job fair. And it certainly leaves a much bigger impression. Or the story might come from somebody that's doing that exact job, talking about why they love it, where they live, and their experiences with the job as a recruitment tactic.
Would you say that your primary application then is just helping communities tell their story, or companies tell their story? Do I have that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what almost all of our economic development marketing is these days. It's storytelling. Success stories of either the businesses thriving in your region, or success stories about the people thriving in your region. And we take those stories, we curate them, make sure, and then we can market them directly to the people where those stories are going to be aspirational to.
Do you do the marketing, or does the economic development group do that, or do you do that for them?
We do that at Golden Shovel oftentimes for them. So mm-hmm. that's one of our services we provide. We have a team of almost a dozen content writers, and a lot of marketing strategy, do the writing, then getting it out through all the different social media channels and the websites. I think we're actively working with over 200 communities in North America, and a few internationally in Africa and down in the island of Dominica and Panama.
How did you get involved in some of these other countries? That's kind of an intriguing leap when you think about Panama or Africa or some of the others. What brings you to those places?
A lot of those came out of strategic partnerships that mm-hmm. we've been working with. Just to name a couple, WavTech is one of the groups that they work internationally doing lead generation. We work closely with those guys. We've worked closely with the GIS planning organization, and as they've expanded internationally since they were acquired by the Financial Times. And so we've already had been working with them, because we use their tools to put into our website products. Mm-hmm. And now we bring in the content that we've been creating and our technologies to support their efforts also.
Sounds very synergistic in the relationship. Good for you guys. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice going. Looking down the road, you know, if we were going down 5 years down the road. Where do you see you personally, you and your company, and maybe the technology? So we've got the VR, we've got the AR stuff up and running. We've got it on our glasses now, and we can go out and look at a site and watch buildings materialize before our eyes. Anything after that? I mean, I know I'm stretching you a little here, but I'm always looking further down the road if possible.
Yes. God, 5 years seems like such a long time when you're working with this type of technology. It changes so dramatically fast. I believe in 5 years, first of all, we're going to be really focused on getting this technology adopted globally. We want to make, because that's really where the big benefits are. It's being able to cut down on greenhouse gas emissions, not having to fly everywhere. And particularly in the same way that we can help rural communities, I believe we'll be helping some more of the third world countries, other countries that also find it difficult to bring in a lot of investors to check out the area. That's where I think this is going to have a lot of value. But there's, in 5 years, there's going to be other technologies that go along with all of this. So not only the augmented reality component is going to be probably in the same state, if not further than where the virtual reality is now, but you're going to have artificial intelligence, which is going to be able to take, since economic development deals with so much data, it's going to take that data and process it a lot faster and in ways that are can understand, whereas now gathering of all of that data oftentimes requires the economic development organizations to, as quickly as possible, hunt down and put together reports manually. And I believe that artificial intelligence is going to be able to do a lot of that and help answer a lot of the questions and do a lot of the site location in cahoots with these other technologies. So, yeah.
I'm just curious, are we headed to the holodeck of Star Trek? Is that our ultimate destination? Is that where we're going?
Well, in a lot of ways, we've already built the holodeck from Star Trek with the virtual reality. It's the same kind of experience. You're walking into a virtual place. Your brain doesn't know that it's not there.
Yep.
And you're talking to people live. It's somewhat of that. Something like that. I do believe that's going to be the mixed reality where you've got the mix of reality and the 3D and the augmented and the data. That's just going to change things so dramatically. Because it's going to be really exciting. But the hardware is not quite there yet. We're still a good year out or 2 years out.
Just wrapping up with one last question. How can our listeners stay relevant in this rapidly changing world that you've just described? How can they, at least, as a minimum, be aware of it? And secondly, how can they find out? Where do they need to go and what do they need to be listening to or looking at in order to stay relevant in this rapidly changing technological world?
Sure. That's a great question. Well, for a general listener, I would say that the news is coming out fast and frequent. You know, if you have a news feed that you follow, just tying in a little bit of either down the virtual reality or the augmented reality topics, that there's a regular stream of announcements coming out. It's very fast. There's some excellent conferences. One of the areas, if you're really interested, that I got a lot of information was joining meetups back when we could do meetups, and those are coming back. But out here, the Silicon Valley VR Club. There was another one in Santa Cruz that I was able to attend. You get to preview new technologies as they're coming out and meet the developers that are working on new things. It's just an excellent way. If you're an economic developer, I would say sign up to our newsletter and listen to Dean's podcast and our podcast. And we're procuring it. We're out there prospecting these new technologies. We're trying to figure out which ones are going to be the best for economic developers and then adapting them as such and bring them to the table.
Aaron, well, on behalf of our listeners and on behalf of the profession, I always want to thank you for your pioneering work that you do with technology, because you're blazing the trail, and sometimes that's not so easy to do, and there's a lot of experimentation that has to take place in order to do that. So on behalf of the profession, me and our listeners, thank you for what you do. That's very cool.
Oh, thanks. And that's thoughtful, and I'm honored to hear that from you, Dean.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have this conversation, and I do wish you well as you go forward with your adventure. And I hope we will talk again with you in the near future to get an update on your travels and what you've learned along the way. Thank you, Aaron.
I would love that. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Whitaker Report podcast, Seeing Around Corners. And a special thanks to Aaron Brossois for helping us better understand what's next when it comes to technology and economic development. Again, I am Dean Whitaker, your host. Please subscribe to the Whitaker Report podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast. Thank you for listening.